Okay, I got a question to ask you this morning. How many of you, maybe some of you still now today, or when you were younger, how many of you liked going to the carnival or the amusement park? Raise your hand. Okay, most of you. Okay, the next question is, when you would go to the carnival or the amusement park, what was your favorite ride? What was the thing that you liked as a kid to ride? You couldn't wait to get to the carnival or the amusement park and get a ride on this ride. What was it? Go ahead. What is it?
Tilt-a-whirl.
Oh, I don't think I could do that one. Tilt-a-whirl? Okay. The Ferris wheel?
Ferris wheel?
I always like the spinning cups. Here.
The spinning cups? Okay. Yeah. Bill?
Roller coaster.
Okay, how about you guys back there? I don't know, Tico.
The whole thing,
yeah. What?
Pretty thing.
Oh, the cups, coffee cups?
Yeah.
Okay, what did they call that? Coffee cup things?
I don't know.
Okay. How about Kay and Byron? Did you guys like to go on the rides?
Yeah, I like the Ferris wheel.
The Ferris wheel?
Yeah.
Kay?
I never got to go there much.
Not much? Okay.
Roller coaster.
Roller coaster, Caroline?
Kind of like the way I drive.
A what?
We didn't go.
Oh, you didn't go? Lois?
I like roller coasters the way they were back then.
Okay.
Not anymore.
Let me ask you, how many of you got to do the bumper car ride? Where you were in the car and you would bump into people. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We know that when you get in this bumper car, it's pretty popular back then, people enjoy driving recklessly for just a few minutes, bumping deliberately into each other. But we know it was harmless. It wasn't going to hurt anybody. But we loved doing that. And the reason why I share this particular ride is because some people have a bumper car mentality in their relationship with other people. Using blunt words, they deliberately bump into others' feelings and their emotions, which is, we know, harmless. You know, the bumper cars were not harmless. But when we speak to others in a way that's not appropriate, it does, you know, it leaves scars, and it is harmful. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 10:19, "He who restrains his lips is wise." And James said, "No man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison." This is out of James 3. So in other words, get this. With the tongue, we as Christians, we bless our God who created us, but then we turn around and we might curse those that God created. Wow, when I read that, I go, wait a minute. I had to read that a couple of times. So we're real good about blessing God, you know, blessing God with our lips. But are we just as, you know, or do we, when it comes to those he's created, we curse them? And we think about it. I love what it further said. It says, we think of Christians, we do the blessing with our tongue, and the non-Christians do the cursing. Okay? But think about it. When James wrote this in James 3, "No man can tame the tongue," he wasn't talking about the non-believer here. He was talking about the Christian. So what's that tell you? But we need to remember that James, in this scripture, was writing to the Christians. He was not talking about the non-Christians. So in Romans 6:13, Paul said we need to make a choice to present parts of our body, which our tongue is, of course, a part of our body, is an instrument of righteousness to God, not an instrument of unrighteousness to sin. So when we speak things, we want to make sure that we're not speaking unrighteousness, which of course is sin. We want to speak righteousness and show reverence to God. Now, I've ran across this poem that talks about measuring our words, and this is how it goes. A wise old owl sat in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like that wise old bird? So, today's message is something where we want to realize that there's a connection between wisdom and limiting what we say. So in James 1:19, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So again, when we restrain our words, what we're doing is showing reverence to God. Now, when I was reading this, these scriptures, two people came to my mind. One of them was Pastor Lorne. He's passed away since. He had a church up in Sterling Rock Falls. He actually ran the Love Shop at the mall, if some of you remember the Love Shop, him and his wife. But he became a pastor, and he pastored up in Sterling Rock Falls. But he was a man that, he liked to joke around and stuff. He was had a great sense of humor. But for the most part, when you watch this man in a room, he did not speak a lot. He listened a lot. And you could just see by his demeanor that he honored, you know, he wanted to make sure that what he said spoke life. And I remember one time there was an issue that came up, and it was a negative situation with him, and he would not speak anything but life over that situation. He would not with the individual. He would not speak anything but life, and it showed such reverence for God when he did that, and I had so much respect for him because when he would speak, you knew when he said something, you wanted to hear what he had to say, because he didn't say a lot. You know, he didn't just chatter along. He spoke life. So I had a lot of respect for him. In Ecclesiastes 5:2, Solomon said, God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. So time and time again, we're finding in Scripture that it's telling us that we need to choose our words wisely, and we need to think about what we're going to say. And a good example of that is when we go to like a memorial service. I'm going to admit here that I have a hard time, you know, I go to memorial services, I've done services, and you want to say a whole bunch of words to make that person, that family, feel better. And really, the best thing to do is just be present. It's called a silent presence, because it's just the fact that you are there with them. You don't need to say a lot of words to comfort them. You just need to be there. That's what comforts them. You don't have to find a lot of words I feel like I'm there, I have to say something, you know. All you have to do is say, I'm sorry for your loss. I'm here for you, you know, and just, you know, speak life. But, you know, again, you don't have to say a lot of things. So, a good example of that is out of Job chapter 2. No one spoke a word to him, talking about Job. No one spoke to Job, for they saw that his grief was very great. So sometimes, again, there's a good time to speak and say something, but then there are other times when we need to be still and let you know, just be still and be present. Choosing to speak less allows us to hear more. So again, if we choose to, you know, speak less, we're going to pick up what's going on around us, and we might learn something. We might experience something. So in that way, you know, otherwise if we'd have been talking and talking and talking, we wouldn't have picked up maybe something that otherwise you would have missed if you'd have kept quiet. So there's a point that I want to make about Proverbs. He who restrains his lips is wise. So here are 4 points real quick here. The power of our words carries significant weight and can easily cause harm if not carefully considered. So if we're going to speak, are we wanting to speak discouragement or encouragement? So that's one point. The next thing, the value of restraint. True wisdom lies in knowing when to keep quiet and not engage in unnecessary chatter. And then active listening. How do you do active listening? Well, in choosing to listen intently to others and can be more beneficial than speaking impulsively. How many times, and I've done it, I'm going to say I'm guilty, I know many a times people have been telling me something, and I'm thinking, I hear them, but am I listening? I'm thinking about what I'm going to say after they're done. Or they're talking to me and I'm looking around or I'm looking at something else. Does that show that I'm intently listening to them? No, I'm not. It shows disrespect to them that you're not paying attention to what they have to say. So actively listening. Look, make eye contact. So, and these are things that God wants us to do. I can bet you that when Jesus ministered, he was making personal eye contact with each and every person that he ministered to. Because it was personal. He wants it to be personal. This morning on my way to church, I was praying. I go, Lord, I just thank you for your word. I've fallen in love with your word. And I said, Lord, your word is a love letter to us. And Lord, when you wrote this love letter to us, it was for all of us. But yet when we sit down and read it, you make it so personable about each one of us. You make us feel like it's directly towards me. And I just wanted to thank him for that. And that's the thing that we need to realize, that God is personable. And we want to be personable by making eye contact and really hanging on to every word. It shows that we are concerned about individuals. I had a friend of mine yesterday that drove up from Missouri. She needed ministered to. She said, I'm coming up. Can we have lunch together? I need to talk to you. And we sat for 3 hours at Four Star, and we just fellowshipped, and we had lunch, and she just poured out, what was going on in her life, and she needed prayer. And we sat there, and we prayed, and we've got to do that. We've got to be active listeners. So, and lastly, before speaking, reflect on whether your words will be constructive and helpful. Now, I found this little story. I thought it was really cute, but it sure goes with what the message is today. There was this little boy. He went to his pastor's house while the pastor was doing some carpentry. The boy watched the pastor intently while he worked. After a few minutes of silence, the pastor looked at the little boy and asked, Son, are you here to pick up a few carpentry tips? No, the little boy replied. He said, I just wanted to know what a pastor says after he hits his thumb with his hammer. So, and how true that is. And it's not just pastors. People are watching us, not just pastors, but those who are followers of Christ. They're watching us. And more specifically, they're listening to see if there's inconsistencies in our words and whether it's what we're saying is Christ-like. Are we speaking Christ-like? And they're waiting to see if we're consistent. What they really want to know is whether our faith comes from the heart. And the best way to find that out is when they speak, when the other person listens to what comes out of their mouth. And we know out of the heart the mouth speaks. Now, it's a tough test. For us as followers of Christ, it's a tough test for us to have to walk every single day to watch what's coming out of here. It's a tough test. But James makes it clear, and the other thing too, but it's a fair test. And we can all do it. We can all accomplish it. And James makes that clear in this scripture. It says, and so blessing and cursings come pouring out of the same mouth. Listen to this. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out of both fresh and salty water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, you cannot draw fresh water from a salty spring. So it's not just what's coming out of here, it's what's in here. And if what's in here is coming out of here and it's negative, we'll go to the mouth and say, you need to shape up, you need to start, No, it starts here. It starts here, and how do you get this in here? Once it's in here, then it comes out here. So, I thought this was quite interesting when I came across this. It says that even the heroes of Scripture did not pass this test. They had issues with speaking, things coming out of their mouth that shouldn't have come out. And an example of this is out of Isaiah, was a great prophet of the Lord who saw an amazing vision of God on his throne surrounded by angels. And then in Isaiah 6, 1 through 4, it tells how Isaiah responded. And this is what Isaiah said. He cried, "It's all over. I'm doomed. For I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips. And I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of Heaven's army." Now, listen to this. He says, God, he saw God in his glory. Isaiah saw himself. When he saw God in his glory, he also saw in himself what? He saw his sinful nature. When he saw God's glory, he saw his sinful nature. And then it goes on to say, and the thing he specifically became aware of was his words. Isaiah! Isaiah the prophet! He realized that that the glory of God brought out his sinful ways, and it drew his attention to what he was short on, and that was his words, how he spoke. And Joseph had that problem. Moses had that rock. Remember, Moses didn't get to go to the promised land because he got mad when he spoke and he hit the rock. He spoke against God. He showed disrespect to God in front of the Israel, you know, all of Israel. So he did not get to go into the promised land. So again, now you're saying, okay, Pastor Bonnie, if they messed up and they couldn't get it right, how do you expect us to get it right? But we can. And with that, I'm going to ask Mary if she wants to come up. And Mary, I'm going to have you write think, T-H-I-N-K, this way, like this. To get through there. So T-H-I-N-K. They're both about the same. So she's going to write the word think long ways. And while she's doing that, so before we speak, before we post on our phones, before we tweet on our phones, before we communicate, we need to ask ourselves five questions. So Mary, you got them for me? Okay, so the first one, T, think, out of think, is what are we about to say? Is it true? So she's going to write true next to there. So is it true? If what I'm going to say to this individual, is it going to be true? Is there facts to back up what I'm going to say? So that's the first one. Second one is it helpful? Helpful. The fact that someone is if something is true doesn't mean that it should be. You should be saying it. Here's a good example of that. If I hadn't seen somebody for a long time and that person came up to me and I said, "Man, have you gained some weight?" Yeah. So I mean, would that be helpful? No, it would not be. In fact, I probably want to back up when I said that. You know. Or you could say it this way. Let's say that person came up to you, you haven't seen them for a couple of years, and they had been very ill, and the last time you saw them, they looked really sickly, and they needed to put on some weight. You could say, "Man, you've put on some weight. You look good. You look good." So there's two ways you could go with that. So when you're talking to people, you need to realize, if what I'm going to say, is it going to speak life, or is it going to be negative? So is it going to be helpful? So the next one is it going to be inspiring? Will it bring someone down or will it lift them up?
You can tell me I had to learn how to spell.
Oh, I-N?
Yeah, that's why it's close. That's
P-R-I-N. So, again, does it lift them up or does it bring them down? The next one, is it necessary? Would it be better left unsaid? Necessary is the next one, Mary. So a good example of this, is it necessary? I'll use Kay and Byron for a good example, or even Bruce and Caroline, because the couples, well, and even Ione and Chico. How many times have you, not that you have to say it, but how many times when you've maybe had a disagreement and you wanted things to go your way in this disagreement, and then you turn around and think, you always say that, or we never get to do that. So you know, using the fact of never or always in a negative sense is, you know, so is it necessary to do that to get what you want? So, okay, what was that, Kay? Never said a word. Okay. So, most of us, you know, can relate to that, you know, that with our spouse or with a friend, you know. A good example, another one, if you had a good friend and you wanted to go to the movies and they go, well, I don't like them. Well, we always go to the ones that you like. We never go to the ones I like. So, again, you know, there's a way to do it, but it, again, is how we do it. Is it necessarily a way that's appropriate or a way that is not just going to benefit you, but it's going to save the relationship or help the relationship, encourage the relationship? Okay, lastly, is it kind? Is it kind? Will it touch someone's heart? Will it touch someone's heart? Okay, Mary, that's it. Thank you for that. You know, so asking ourselves these questions, is what I'm going to say true? Is what I'm going to say helpful? Is what I'm going to say inspiring, encouraging? Is what I'm going to say necessary? Not because I want it to go my way, this argument or whatever, choices, I want it to go my way. And then to be kind. Now, I'm going to close with this. Message wasn't really long today, that long. And as you can see why, because of coughing issues. When we start to say, okay, I want to work on these. I want to improve what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it, when I'm going to say it, if it's appropriate to even say it. I'm going to work on these things. So, let's say Caroline missed this particular message today. And Bruce goes home and he's thinking, man, I gotta work on this. So he goes home and now he's really working on this. And Caroline's going, wait a minute, is this the same guy that I, you know, like, I don't, huh? Because I say it funny, but when you start doing this, some people are going to say, excuse me, that's not you talking, that's not, you know. And what you might say is, listen, I want to reverence God. I want to be Christ-like, and not just in my actions, but in my words. I want to speak life. I want to encourage. So what I'm trying to do, and you're saying that to maybe your best friend or your spouse, and you're saying, I want to improve on what I say and how I say it and when I say it. Because I want to show reverence to God. And that's what it all boils down to, is that we need to do it to honor God. Not to make, you know, yeah, we want to improve, you know, our personality. We want people to like us. But the main purpose is right in here. That our goal, our purpose is to make it so that we reverence God in what we say and what we do, how we say it, when we say it. So that's the reason why I wanted to share this message. And I just felt that I find myself, and I'll be very honest, I'm very good at, you know, like, Russ might be telling me something, and my thought is way over here sometimes, and I catch myself, oh, you're not paying attention to what he's saying. So that's where I'm short. That's where I need to improve. Very honestly, that's where I need to. Or the fact that somebody might be talking to me, and I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next. And yet, what we need to do, especially as a pastor, you need to really intently show that you are so focused on what they are saying because you care. Because you care. So, again, what we want to do is be more Christ-like. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. So we're going to close in prayer this morning. Lord, help us to be more mindful of our words and to speak with wisdom and grace. Father, guide us to know when to speak and when to remain silent. Give us strength to control our tongues. And Father, to use our words to build up others, not to tear them down. To encourage them, to speak life over them, In Jesus' precious holy name, we pray. Amen.